Leasing is getting more popular than ever before, but many people are still unsure whether they should buy or lease. We recently had the chance to learn the nuances of leasing from an acknowledged expert. Scott Hall is Executive Vice President of SwapALease.com, and in this interview, he discusses the current climate for leasing, how leasing can limit your monthly outlay for transportation, and why the mobile phone mentality seems to be gaining traction in the car market.
Think there's a leveling off of interest in leasing? I think there's got to be some concerns going forward for interest rates rising, and that of course affects leasing, although I'm not certain that the consumer is aware that it will affect them. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, you make a good point there. What needs to be remembered first and foremost is leasing is simply an alternative form of financing a vehicle. And as you correctly noted a few moments ago, interest rates going up, that will affect the automotive consumer, whether they use a more traditional installment loan to purchase their vehicle, or you know the interest rate or the lease factor more specifically in a lease. When we're talking about a lease, if those go up, those are going to move the payments north. I don't think we're seeing a leveling off in leasing. In fact, I still think there's some opportunity for growth in leasing. Especially as cars become more and more expensive, we're not seeing any change in that direction. We're not seeing any change in direction in terms of introduction of new technology to vehicles and new features. That's another thing that we believe has helped drive leasing to nearly a third of the automotive market overall. So I don't think we're seeing that peak quite yet. I'm not going to be bold enough to give you a percentage that I think it could go up to, but it is probably worth noting that some of the luxury lines out there, BMW, for instance, was above 50% lease penetration in 2017. So, you know, I think there is definitely some room for leasing to still move north in terms of lease penetration. But again, maybe it can get up to 40%. I don't know. But I definitely think there's room for growth and opportunity there.
Well, and I would imagine as interest rates rise, that can push people toward leasing because leasing, of course, is a way to gain more affordability or get more car for your monthly payment at least. So I think there's the likelihood that an interest rate push could actually improve leasing as a percentage.
You know what? I do agree with that, and another part to that as well. Not only would you typically get more car for your monthly payment under a lease, which obviously would, as you noted, help offset that increase in interest rates, but you know leases are typically far shorter term as well. Most leases are right around 36 months anymore. That's a pretty good average. And I just heard on the radio the other day that you know we're over 6 years at this point on your typical installment loan. So even if the interest rates were to affect both loans and leases at the very same rate or same level, you could even make the argument at least through the lease, you can hopefully interest rates will be back down when you're back in the car.
Especially with loan terms getting longer and longer and longer, and really that's in response to consumers wanting more and more stuff and cars, trucks, SUVs getting more expensive. Why don't you compare and contrast now versus maybe in the past the advantages of leasing versus buying, and especially buying with a long, long-term loan?
You know, I'd be happy to go through them, and we'll do that here in just a moment. I don't know that the advantages of leasing in comparison to the disadvantage of a regular installment loan purchase have really changed. However, I think it's becoming more evident or clearer why those differences exist. I think might be a better way to look at it. Most notably, as we just talked about, is the fact that loans are becoming longer and longer and longer. And I'm sure you probably have some data on that as well, but I can't remember if it's just on the cusp of 6 years or just over 6 years, but that's a pretty long-term loan. And of course, it's not uncommon out there to see six, seven, yeah, I've even seen some eight-year loans. Now, granted, I don't think those are that commonplace, but the fact that they're being offered on vehicles, I find it.
Well, I think a six-year loan is very commonplace, and longer loans for more expensive vehicles. And you know, I always ask folks when I'm asked to comment on that: will you feel as good about making a new car payment on a vehicle that is 5 or 6 years old as you do when it's brand new sitting in your driveway? And I think if you ask yourself that question as a consumer, you might find that, for example, leasing and even short-term leasing is a very valuable option to look at.
I totally agree with that. I'm sure most people, when you ask them that question, probably had never looked at it from that that lens, if you will. I think that's a great way to ask that question. You know, another big plus with most leases is it's going to be less money out of pocket up front is typically what we find, because we would always recommend that people put as little money down on the lease as possible. So I think that would be a major advantage in addition to the shorter term nature. We believe that budgeting, you know, your consumer budgeting is made easier with leasing. Now, granted, somebody will always make the argument, well, if you buy a car at some point, you're going to pay that car off. That's true, you know, 6-7 years down the road, whatever it might be, but you could very easily have some unexpected expenses as well in terms of repairs, maintenance, et cetera, and those are going to be minimal if they exist at all in a lease situation. You know, again, typically a 3-year lease, most vehicles have at least a 3-year warranty, some have a substantially longer than that, and there shouldn't be a great deal of maintenance to do on a modern car either. So it does somewhat stem or as a derivative of the short-term nature of it, but the not having that potential surprise, having to replace an air conditioner, transmission, whatever the case may be, I think is a big advantage for many. You know, something else I think plays into it that may be the one thing I think that may be a little bit different than what the advantages were 10 years ago is I do think we're seeing a little bit of a shift in the market or the dynamics of the market. And what I mean by that is as we see more younger and younger people coming into the market, they're less and less interested in owning something. I remember, you know, 25 odd years ago, which I know is dating me, when I was back at the dealerships and talking about leasing to clients at that point, you would inevitably run into an old timer and said, well, I like the monthly payment idea. I like the lower down payment. I mean, I like the lower out-of-pocket idea. I like getting into new cars more often, but I'm never going to own it. I'm never going to own it. That was always the one reason given that you couldn't get around, or at least they didn't want to hear any reasons for that. And what a lot of people didn't understand back then is, well, you know, you take out a 5-year loan, a 6-year loan 10 years ago is probably pretty unusual thinking back to it, but even a 5-year loan, it's quite a you're going to be into that loan quite a ways before you're to any type of an equity position in most cases. So essentially, you don't own the vehicle at that point either, or you own something that you owe more money on, however you want to look at
it. Yeah, exactly. You're actually upside down on it, and you're owing more than the vehicle is worth in the midpoint of the loan. That's frequently the case, and that's frequently the case when people want to change out of that vehicle into something else. I mean, that's the other thing about long-term loans is, you know, it's hard to predict 6, 7, 8 years in the future and what your life is going to be like in those situations.
Absolutely. But, you know, as we move more and more to a, you know, user-type mentality with our society, and I think this is kind of best evidenced by the mobile phone industry, you know, most people sign 2-3-year contracts, relatively short contracts, with the understanding that they're going to want that latest and greatest technology, you know, 2-3 years down the road. They, you know, could care less if they own that phone. They just need use of it and, you know, have every intention of replacing that, you know, periodically. Additionally, it seems like most people have become accustomed to assuming that a mobile phone is going to be a monthly expense. You know, it's not going to go away. And I think we're seeing, again, we're seeing that type of shift in the overall economy, and I definitely think you're seeing that type of shift in the car industry as well. And I think we'll continue to see that type of shift as older folks cycle out of the primary car buying market, and then more younger folks are able to afford things and take that market.
Well, I was going to say a lesson from industry is rent what it decreases in value, what depreciates pretty rapidly, a car, for example, and then own those things that have the chance for appreciation instead. And maybe that lesson from the business world is now applying to more and more people in their personal lives and their personal finances.
You know, I totally agree with that, and that's what I remember back from a lot of my finance and accounting classes in college. And I wonder, too, and this just kind of popped into my head, but, you know, going back to the recessionary period, you know, 2009-ish, give or take, and that being really the first time that we'd seen a dramatic fall in real estate values, I wonder if that may have woke some people up too. Well, gee, you know, historically, I knew my car wasn't going to appreciate, but my goodness, if my house, if I can lose value on my house, maybe I need to rethink all these things. So perhaps that plays into it a little bit as well. I don't know.
Let's talk a little bit about the consumer out there who is considering a lease for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
What should they be thinking about when they have previously financed their cars? What are some things that are important for them to know as they go into the leasing market?
They shouldn't be scared of or intimidated by leasing because, again, it's only an alternative form of financing a vehicle. So I think there's some, you know, I think there's an intimidation factor when people aren't familiar with a financial instrument or how it works or know all the ins and outs about it. So I think that would be my first thing to point out is, you know, don't let it intimidate you. There's been many, many, many leases written over the years, and it's, you know, it's a third of the current market, so it's not as it's not as scary as some people may think. Secondarily, a lot of the same things apply to leasing a vehicle as they do to purchasing a vehicle. And these may sound elementary, but I think there's people that don't necessarily think of it this way. You know, for instance, you know, this shouldn't change the type of vehicle you're looking for in most cases. You know, your needs for a vehicle are going to be different depending if you have a small family, large family, no kids, pets, whatever the case may be, if you commute to work, if you use public transportation. All those things need to be taken into consideration to find the right vehicle, regardless of how you're going to finance it through an installment loan or a lease. So those types of things shouldn't change either. And again, less to be intimidated about. Another recommendation I think I may have made earlier, but I think it applies here as well, is I would always recommend putting as little cash up front in the lease as possible. You know, you may as well pay for it on a monthly basis as opposed to paying for it up front. And I think that's generally good financial advice. It's important to be realistic about what your mileage requirements are in a lease. Obviously, you can go over your mileage requirements and pay a fee and move on. But generally speaking, if you're more realistic about your mileage requirements up front, and even if that results in a little bit higher monthly payment, you're still going to be ahead of the game in terms of what that mileage penalty and what the net cost would be at the end of the day. Even if the payment's a little bit more money and it should fit better with your mileage needs, that will likely be the more cost-effective way for you to go in the future. Other things to think about in leasing, and I guess this kind of gets back to one of my earlier points to some degree, is, you know, they should be also negotiated for in the same way as when you purchase a vehicle. Is don't let the dealership talk you into negotiating a monthly payment. Again, I can't say this enough times, leasing is simply an alternative form of financing a vehicle, and just as if you're going to finance a vehicle, you want to make sure that the top line price is as attractive as possible or as low as possible, and that's where you want to start the conversation in terms of creating the monthly payments, not the other way around of what you can afford, because there's too many variables that can be changed around in terms of, you know, changing the term, and of course that's true in both loans and leases, different amounts of money down, et cetera, et cetera.
That concludes part one of our interview with leasing expert Scott Hall of Swap-A-Lease. Please click on part two to see why leasing is becoming a better alternative to a traditional purchase. And thanks for being with us at drivingtoday.com.